That takes skill. I always feel honored when Pastor asks me to share. Told him when he came here, how many years ago? What, three, four, five? Long time. That I would try to help him have the best ministry he could here. Anything he wanted me to do, I would try to do it. So he asked me last Sunday if I would preach today, and I said, well, okay. And so this week I was praying, you know, what can I bring that could cover everybody, that everybody could notice and know, yep, that's me. So it doesn't matter about age, young person, old person, doesn't matter who you are, we're going to talk about something that you deal with every day, something that is very common. And when you think of something that is common, well, just everyday thing. You know, it's, well, we have the common cold. It's just a cold, and you know what they are. When in school, I don't know if they still do this anymore, do they still have common denominators in math? Do they still do that? They haven't messed that up yet, have they? Good. What's common denominator? That's the base number. And so today we want to talk to everyone because everyone has experienced this. It doesn't matter who you are, if you're a Christian or not, you have experienced this. Because what we're going to talk about today is common to man. It's common to everybody, not just men. In the Bible, the word man was used for human beings, men, women, boys, and girls. So if you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This morning I want to talk about why you can win over temptation. Who here in this room and around whoever's watching has never been tempted? It's common to mankind. Temptations. What is a temptation? Where do they come from? And how do I deal with it? And sometimes people have a hard time dealing with it. You know, I don't know if you've heard, maybe you've said, boy, I just couldn't pass up the temptation. Well, you just lied to yourself. Resisting temptation. How many people know the dough shop? I know he does. I can drive past that place. I have a temptation. Chocolate cream filled. Apple fritter. Big. I keep right on going. Because I'm going to see the doctor before long, and he's going to say, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to mankind. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but, see that? Will with the, will. He will. I mean, it's there. He will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There are a lot of things we see here. We're not going to get them all done today. But a temptation is a test. You're going to do what's right, or you're going to do what is not right. And sometimes, and most times, the enemy, Satan, will put this test in front of you. Look how nice this is. Look how nice them cream-filled donuts are. Is there anything wrong with cream-filled donuts? No, if you eat more than three setting, you got a problem. But Satan puts this test. There has. What's that has? That's past tense. Has. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Now, some people might think, well, the temptation I had, I think I'm the only one that has this temptation. Don't flatter yourself. Because no matter what the temptation is, somebody else has been tempted with that. And one person was tempted to all things that men are tempted in was Jesus. So he knows what to do with a temptation. He knows how to handle it. He knows how to get rid of it. He knows not how to fall to that temptation. And he showed us very clearly. So every Christian, every person, we said, do non-Christians not be tempted? Here it says every Christian's tempted. Everyone, every human being faces temptation. But every Christian is subject to temptation. Now, temptation is not sinful. Whew. Temptations are not sinful. Again, it says temptation is common to mankind. So how do we cut down on the amount of temptation? You stay away from Satan's territory. You don't go there. Sometimes he'll make it all look so pretty and so nice. And, I just got to have that. I really need that. How many of you guys are toolaholics? I'm a toolaholic. My name is Dean. There's one tool I've been looking at. I go to that place, Walmart. I need to stay out of the hardware section. I need to stay out of the tool aisle. I need to stay out. I don't. There's one thing I'd like to have. Now, my car, right front tire, loses 10 pounds of air a week. I'm too lazy to take it off and take it down to the tire shop. I just pump it back up. Walmart, there's this thing that pumps your tire up and it's got the hose here, but it's got a dial on it. And it'll tell you how many pounds you put in. You don't have to, I put the little dial reader on there. Well, yeah, it's 23 pounds and I air it up. But boy, if I had this little gauge thing, that would be nice. I stand there and look at it. I say, I don't need that. My little tire gauge works good, and I air it up, and we're done. I put the tire gauge away. I don't need it. I'd like to have it, though. But I don't need it. So I save my $15.88 plus tax. I save that. Next time in Walmart, I stand there and look at it. And you know what you're trying to do? Talk yourself into it. That'd be a lot easier. I could get done quicker, be more accurate. That'd be nice. And what if I helped somebody? I could step away from the tire gauge. Now, I'm not saying a Walmart is Satan's territory. It could be. We can spare ourselves many temptations if we just don't go to the devil's territory where he wants to test us. So how does he test us? Right here. In the eyes, in the mind, in the ears. I look at that tire gauge, boy, and look good hanging in my garage. My messy garage, I've been told. So now I can look at it. my little tire gauge is paid for, and I'm going to keep my $15. So I don't need that. I just go on. So he tempts us through our mind. He tempts us through the desires of the flesh. Boy, I really like to do that. You know, that would be fun. I can do that. But, you know, I know it kind of borders on not being good, but, you know, desire for temporal possessions, my tire gauge. For power, for sexual gratification, for all these different things, we get tempted. You say, well, Jesus was tempted that way? That's what the Bible said. The Bible said that. Temptation does not become sinful lust unless you yield to it. When you say, okay, you're doomed. Okay. I'll do it. But you see, Jesus was tempted in every way, but he didn't yield to the sin. Remember when the devil tempted him with all this stuff? I'll give you this, but he already owned it. Trying to give him something he already owned. Isn't he supposed to be our example? How did he do it? Did he carry on a conversation with the devil? No, he just whipped the scripture on him. Man shall not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You ever see that? You don't do that. So he's our example. You don't have a conversation with the devil. Well, you know, devil, no. God says I'm not supposed to do that, and that's it. In a conversation. He overcame. We can overcome any temptation. Okay, the devil has presented the test. Now what do we do? What do we do with it? We're supposed to perform our best as a Christian. With God's help, do what's best. You know, it says, but God is faithful. I like that. I like so well I underlined it. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above which you are able? How many Christians fail to do their best? They're just kind of mediocre, just sort of bobbing along on the water, if you will. Well, I'm a Christian now. I'm going to make it into heaven. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you. I saw a picture one that had been years ago where this Christian was right up to a cliff. How close can I get to that cliff before I fall? And Christians spend a lot of their lifetime right at the edge of the cliff. How close can I get to this cliff and still be a Christian without falling into the temptation? And too many Christians spend their life rationalizing how they could stay there and not fall in. You ever done that? Am I the only one? So how do we do it? James 4:7 says, anybody know what James 4:7 says? You Bible scholars. Resist the devil. How do you resist? What does resist mean? Push him away. Resist the devil, and here's the promise. You resist the devil, and the Bible says, and he will flee from you. You resist him. You don't stand there and have a conversation with him. resist the devil, and he will. And he might. He will. Resist him. In the name of Jesus, devil, you get out of here, and you leave me alone. Because if you don't, I'm going to sick my daddy on you. So you resist the devil. James 4:8 says, if we draw near to him, that's first. If we draw near to him, that is our responsibility, to draw near to him. That is our choice. That's our responsibility, to draw close to him, to be close to him. And he says, and what? What's next? And he'll draw near to you. Now, whose presence would you rather be in? So we have a responsibility to draw near to God. That is our responsibility. In our everyday life, to draw closer and closer and closer to him. Jesus defeated Satan by quoting Scripture. Well, you're going to have to know the Scripture before you can quote it. God will bring to your memory a Scripture that you need. But before he'll bring it, what you need, you have to read. We can defeat Satan through prayer. Lord, devil's trying to get me. I need some help. I need an extra dose of the Holy Spirit's power in my life today to defeat him. You pray. And then you whack him with scriptures like Jesus did. Again, like I said, you have to know them. God requires no more of his children than they're able to bear. And each of us is different. We're all different. Somebody said, boy, I'm really tempted to do this. Well, I was, and I just blew it off and got done. And you can do the same. Well, everybody's different. It's been said, if we perform our best, God will do the rest. He'll do the rest. God provides the rest. But will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. What does that escape route look like? I went up to Camping World yesterday, having this big extravaganza, with all their motor homes, and I went in these moldy hundreds of thousands of dollars of motor coaches, and sat in the driver's seat, you know, like a little kid. Looked at the price, $220,000. But it was nice for a minute. Temptation. Wife says, did you bring home a camper? No, the car doesn't have a trailer hitch. Yeah. The truck does, but the grandson had it, so he saved me. When Satan strikes, and he will strike, and if you ever watched those animal shows on TV, the lion and the cats, and they just sort of creeping along. This unsuspecting animal. When they get close enough, that's what the devil does. When you least expect him, we have to do our best to resist. So do you resist? How do you resist? What do you do with them? What does the way of escape look like? Because whenever there's a temptation, the way of escape is right there. You come in, you're walking down the road, and there's a fork in the road, and here's, you choose which path you take. And the way that you resist temptation, the way that you don't fall into that trap, is one little word. No. No. I'm not doing it. No. Get out of here, devil. He will flee from you. Make a way of escape. He's given you the word no. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going there. I'm not buying that tire gauge. I'm not doing that. No. But you don't stop there. You turn. He flees. You draw closer to God. Thank you, Lord, for the strength that you've given me to say no, to allow me to overrule my own desires and wants. And the temptation that's been presented to me, that you've given me the power to say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing what the devil wants me to do, even though it looks nice and fun and enjoyable and expensive. God has promised and will, see this, but will with the temptation. Every temptation you face has an escape route. And all the new motor homes and motor coaches and things, you look at one window and it'll say emergency exit. You got a way out. Something goes wrong up in the kitchen, you're in the bedroom, there's an escape route. You put your foot on it and it pops out and you get out. So we have an escape route. No. I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not. I'm going to go do what's right. I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do that. So what do we do when Satan presents these testings and the trials, the troubles? What are we supposed to do? Sit down and moan and cry and, oh, the devil just, every people say, boy, the devil just beat me up this week. Well, why'd you let him? You didn't resist him, did you? You carried on a conversation with him, didn't you? No. We keep working on our salvation. We keep doing the praying. We keep doing the trusting. We keep doing the believing in God's word. He says, if you resist the devil, Jesus, he's got to go. He has to. He has no choice. We have the choice to resist or not resist. We conquer this with God's help. You cannot do it on your own. If you're a Christian and Satan tempts you, which he will, it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're a youth or you're old like me, or I told you I wouldn't yield to that temptation because I like to pick on Conrad because he's older than I am. But I'm not going to do that this time. I told him I wouldn't do that. Boy, yielded to that temptation, didn't I? Well, I better start over again and preach it myself. But we resist the devil. He's got to go now. Does that mean he's going to stay away? No. He'll hit you in another area. He'll hit you. Maybe you want a Dodge Diesel Dually to tow that fifth wheel that you saw up there. Then you get to figuring, truck, trailer, $100,000. I'll buy a motor coach. We have to do our best. God will supply us. If we draw near to Him, if we come to Him, and if we are praying and reading and studying and depending on God's Holy Spirit to give us the power and the strength to overcome even the smallest of temptation. Because what do we do when we yield to the smallest of temptation? Well, I yield and nothing happened. Lightning didn't strike. Nothing happened. Oh, next temptation. Well, this one wasn't bad, so maybe this one won't be so bad. And what happens? For long, you're off the cliff. No matter what the temptation, if you know it's wrong, if you've been taught it's wrong, if God's word said it's wrong, then it's wrong. No, I'm not going to do it. That is your way of escape. Along with the scriptures and along with resisting. How do you deal with temptation? You're tempted every day. You're never off the hook of the temptation. You're never. It's always there. It's always in front of you. It's how we respond to that temptation that justifies us or condemns us. Temptation is just a choice. That's all it is. Just a choice. Am I going to do what I know is right? Am I going to do what God's word says? Am I going to do what His Holy Spirit has taught me? Or am I going to just tell Him to take a hike and I'm going to do what I want to do? It's a choice. That's all it is. So how do you deal with the temptations in your life? And too often we try to resist those temptations and our own power and strength, and you might as well forget it because you're going to fail. You're going to succumb to that temptation. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to think that. I'm not going to say that. No. What happens if you do? What happens if you do yield to that temptation? What do I do? I've messed up. I've yielded to temptation. I asked God to help me, but I chose to do it myself. We can do that. You can overrule God. You know that? I know this is what you want me to do this, but I want to do this, and I'm going to go do it. We have that choice. So what do I do? How do I make sure that I'm going to do the right thing? But when I do the wrong thing, what do I do? What do I do? Oh, we can kick ourselves and we can, you know, put poor guilt on ourselves and all that stuff. But if you confess that, God, I yield to the temptation. I know you told me not to, but I did anyway. And you were right, I'm wrong. That's what confession is. You agree with God against yourself. You're right, God, I'm wrong. I've messed up again. You confess that. And there's that little word again, and He is faithful and just to forgive that and cleanse that all in righteousness. That's what you do when you fall into temptation and you yield to that temptation. You confess it to God. When God's Holy Spirit convicts you, that was wrong. How many know the feeling of conviction? We all do. We all feel that when our heart gets all and our throat tightens up and we can't hardly breathe, and God gets our attention. I don't like that feeling. Grab onto them pews, and I was in the Maiden Lane Church of God, and I'm grabbing on them pews, white knuckles. Oh, please let him finish praying so I can get out of here. Next week, last verse, I'll be there. If you just resist the devil. Yeah, but I want to resist the devil. But that'll be so good and so fun. Okay, you win. No, I'm not going to do it. That's your escape route. You have to make that choice. You and only you. No matter how old you are, how young you are. You have the responsibility to say no. Not going to do it. Worship team can come up. There's no temptation taking you but such is common to man, but will. God is faithful, and he will. He will give you the opportunity for you to say, no, I'm not going to do it. And only with your help can I do it. Maybe some of you dealing with temptations, something that's just been a war going on. That's what it's a war. Yes and no, yes and no. I do, but I... God is here. And he wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. And you know what? I'm here. I'm your strength. I'm your guidance. I'm your empowerment for you to resist that temptation. But sometimes we get ourselves kind of weak and wishy-washy, don't we? God, I need some help. You want to come in, just pray by yourself. You got some things you got to deal with God about all by yourself, and that's good. But if you need some encouragement, you come over here. Lord, again, we're so grateful and thankful for your love and your goodness to us. How you forgive us, how you lead us and guide us in our Christian walk. And Lord, you've given us all the tools that we need to resist the enemy. You've given us your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and encourage us and empower us to resist the devil and to stay true to you. Lord, in our humanness, we fail. We fail you oftentimes, but you're faithful when we are not. And you're just when we are not. And you do the cleaning. You clean up the messes that we get in. Help us today to be honest with ourselves and be honest with the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?